Lexi Lang is a little girl who comes to church here with her family, and she's five, and I would like to tell you that she single-handedly has changed Lent for me this year. This is not because she said something particularly sparkling or insightful, or I saw her engage in some kind of amazing act of kindness, although she is sparkling and kind and dear. Texi has made my Lent better because of her willingness to struggle. I like people who are honest about their struggles. In a culture of toxic positivity that I all too often participate in, being real about what hurts and confounds us is a gift. Texi arrived in Children's Chapel a few weeks ago with a very furrowed brow. I was not sure why, but everybody is allowed furrowed brow days, and I just thought this might be Texi's day for that. David was telling the story of Moses and the burning bush to the children this morning. At some point, I looked over, and Texi had covered her ears with her hands. I wondered if it might have been David's deep, booming voice that was causing her alarm, but he really wasn't being that loud. But again, Texi is five. It seemed like it was a furrowed brow day, and I just assumed that that was the problem. But it turns out that on the way to church that morning, Texi's older brother, Bo, had explained exactly what had happened to Jesus, the part that happens on Good Friday. And that had sent Texi into a tailspin that morning. By the time David got to the part about Moses murdering an Egyptian in the story, Texi had had just about enough of the awfulness for one day. Throughout the rest of Lent, I have watched Texi struggle with the story of Easter, and I love her for the honesty of her struggle. The very day that I learned about Texi's rumbling with the Easter story, I came upon a letter that children's author Kate DiCamillo had written to another writer who asked a question about how to be honest with young readers about hard truths. In the letter, she recalled that her dear childhood friend was constantly reading Charlotte's Web, the bittersweet classic E.B. White book about the extraordinary pig named Wilbur, and his sage friend Charlotte, the spider. Later in life, DiCamillo asked her friend, "What was it that made you read and reread that book? Did you think that if you read it again, things would turn out differently, better, that Charlotte wouldn't die?" Her friend replied, "No, it wasn't that. I kept reading it, not because I wanted it to turn out differently, or thought that it would turn out differently, but because I knew for a fact that it wasn't going to turn out differently. I knew that a terrible thing was going to happen, and I also knew that it was going to be okay somehow. I thought that I couldn't bear it, but when I read it again, it was all so beautiful, and I found out that I could bear it. That's what the story told me. That's what I needed to hear, that I could bear it somehow." I know for me, the story that I return to over and over, searching for a way to endure this life, to endure what we are walking into tomorrow, is Jesus washing the feet of his friends, and Jesus setting the table and serving the feast that we have celebrated ever since. This is also a service that forces me to be vulnerable, to be uncomfortable in public and in my own heart, partly because of feet, because I have to take my shoes off here in a few minutes, and partly because I struggle with the idea that Jesus really could love me as much as he does. Here's the thing about feet. I like wearing shoes. I know that some people take their shoes off the moment they hit their doors. But not me. My shoes end up in a pile right beside my bed because that's where they finally come off. Unless I've stupidly chosen to wear heels and they will just go wherever. But here's the loop that's on repeat in my brain. Waking hours are for working. Working requires shoes. And who am I if it's not for the work that I do? Please know I'm not really that industrious a worker, but I do watch Netflix wearing my shoes. That's the circuit in my brain. Awake equals work, shoes equal work equals worthy. It's a completely miswired circuit, and Jesus shows exactly why in this gospel. In tonight's gospel, Jesus carefully tends to his disciples by washing their feet, as was the custom of the day. Peter takes great offense at Jesus being the one doing the washing, as assume I would as well. Who am I to let Jesus wash my feet? Also, that would mean taking off my shoes. And if my shoes are off, I am not working. And if I'm not working, why would Jesus think I'm worthy of anything? Jesus pushes back at Peter, saying, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Unless you see yourself the way I see you, as beloved, worth my time, worth my effort, worth my very life, then you cannot understand who I am and what I'm asking you to do." Jesus then tells the disciples that his time with them is short. And his last instructions to them, his last commandment, is this: "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Love each other just as tenderly as I have loved you, not as your master, but as a friend, one who loves you just the way you are." Jesus loves us with our feet in his face, our stinky, weird, pinky-toed feet in full view. And Jesus commands us to love each other like that. Each of us comes here tonight with things that we struggle with. Maybe you share some of the struggles I have mentioned. There are stories and circumstances that seem too hard to speak aloud. Questions that haunt or enrage us. Old wounds that despite our best efforts just won't heal over. There are so many things in this life that are just about unbearable. And here tonight, before the chaos of what is to come, before Jesus is arrested, before the walk to Calvary, before the tomb, Jesus calls us all together to hold us close, asking us to do one of the most difficult, vulnerable things we could possibly do: to let him love us, to really let him love us, and then let our love flow to fellow humans just the same way. After the washing of the feet, we will come to the table and remember that Jesus also fed his disciples this night. And in doing so, he began a feast in which he continues to feed us. This feast is shared in churches and hospitals and prisons and battlefields, in bomb shelters and homes this very night. This is the feast we have been handed from generation to generation of believers. This is the feast in which we are fed that we need to bear what is unbearable and to carry out the work Jesus has called us to do, to love as he loves. The hours between now and Easter Sunday are long. I pray that we all struggle alongside Texie as we face an intolerable loss at the cross tomorrow. But for tonight, let us share in this bittersweet story, the story we need to hear again and again, to remember that before Jesus faces the cross, he tends us and he feeds us, giving us a way to make it through. I went back a few weeks ago and picked up Charlotte's Web again. My mother first read it to me when I was a very little girl, and I read it as a child often. There's an exchange between Charlotte and Wilbur near the end of the book. Charlotte is dying, as spiders do after they have laid their eggs, but Wilbur is unaware. They are both basking in Wilbur's victory as a prized pig, thus assuring his life and keeping him away from the butcher's axe. This victory has been made possible by Charlotte and her extraordinary web-weaving skills and her wisdom, but mostly through her great love for Wilbur. Wilbur asks Charlotte, "Why did you do this for me? I don't deserve it. I've never done anything for you." And Charlotte replies, "You've been my friend. That in itself is a tremendous thing." I hope Texie reads this story one day. I hope that, like DiCamillo's friend, she finds the beauty in the loss and the love that E.B. White gave so perfectly to his readers. I do not know what Texie's path to learning to bear the grief of the crucifixion will be. I have faith that she and God will work that out in their own time. But I do have faith in her willingness to struggle with what it means that she might in time learn how much in this life she can bear because of the love of Christ. The love shared as Jesus washes the feet of his friends and feeds them. I have faith that she will come to know that she is washed and fed and loved.